On Tuesday this week, I was driving on Ridge Road towards Ottsville, and I had come to the curve in the road where Abby Stauffer was killed last spring. And I always take a quick look at the memorial place. She was a young woman, 16 years old, day before her 17th birthday. And I noticed that there were some new decorations there, but also that there was a Christmas wreath that had been completely dried and fragile there. The seasons have continued. There are still sunflowers there celebrating something that is so true and lovely, the friendship and the love of a daughter and a friend, granddaughter. The seasons have changed, fall to winter and winter to spring, but people continue to go to that spot. They continue to grieve in that place. Now, that was the moment when my phone decided to turn itself on. It had fallen off the seat onto the floor and on the passenger side. It wasn't connected by wires, which usually when I get in, I want to use my phone, I plug it in, and then its car does all kinds of fantastic things, and the two of them talk to each other, and it's great. For some reason, the Bluetooth in the phone decided to go ahead and talk to the Bluetooth in the car, even though I never asked them to do that. And then music started to play. The first song was from Hamilton. There are moments that the words don't reach. There is a suffering too terrible to name. You hold your child as tight as you can and push away the unimaginable. Couldn't help but think about Abby. Couldn't help but think about Brad Hess in that moment. He died last Saturday in a motorcycle accident, and I am certain that his parents are going through that same unimaginable pain. Burying one's child is too terrible. It is unimaginable. And then the next song began, from Les Miserables. I have a lot of Broadway shows on my phone, clearly. But this next song is when Jean Valjean is praying for Marius, who is his daughter's love, and he's going off to fight in a battle. And Jean Valjean says, God on high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there. He's young, he is afraid. Let him rest. Heaven blessed. Bring him home. Bring him home. It is an equally poignant plea of a parent wishing for their child's safe return. And it was almost too much of a coincidence, but I kept on listening. And then there was one more from Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's a song that Judas sings after he has seen Jesus being beaten and bloody and being dragged through the streets of Jerusalem on his way to be crucified at Golgotha. And Judas' anguish is palpable. It is so intense. It is unimaginable how bad he feels, and knowing that he has done something that will change the world and that people will blame him for all time. He grieves for the loss of his friend and his teacher. That is when I turned off the music because I just couldn't bear to think what might come up next. When someone you love dies, there is always grief of some kind. Even when you know that in that dying there is a relief from pain, or that our loved one has finally been freed from a disease that has kept them from being fully themselves, even then, it hurts to say goodbye to someone we love. And when the person who dies is someone younger, someone who has so much left to experience, so much life to give, so much left to receive, the grief can be heartbreaking. It can be soul-shaking. It is unimaginable until it isn't. It is in these moments that the church tries to do its best to speak the promises of Easter. In his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul wrote these words, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. We are not like those who have no hope. Every Sunday we gather together and we confess our faith, and we say that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and that we trust in the life of the world to come, and that we expect, anticipate, believe that there will be a life everlasting, a resurrection of the dead. We proclaim that Easter changed things, not just for Jesus, but for all of us. And yet, Easter can be perplexing. The women were perplexed. And believing in the resurrection isn't always easy. The women were baffled by what they saw and what they heard, and the men thought they were telling silly stories, just being ridiculous in their grief. It's an incredible story. It is an unimaginable story, and it takes both faith and courage to believe that something so inconceivable could actually happen, and to believe that that same incredible thing, Jesus rising from the dead, to believe that that can change your life. Being a faithful Christian is often an act of bravery. To truly believe that death has no power over us and that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love, that is such a daring thing to do. In the face of bad news, horrible, heartbreaking news, we can boldly claim that God brings life out of death and peace out of conflict, and that kind of courage and that kind of faith makes a difference. It really does. Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson once said, "One of the joys of being a Christian is that you believe deep down that death isn't the worst thing. Not living your life, that's the worst thing." And I believe that he's right. Probably 24, 25 years ago, I was at one of those boring convention dinners where they have a speaker and you don't know who the speaker is and you don't really care. And it's one of those, for me, always one of those eye-rolling moments. And you're eating the last of your cheesecake, wishing, please, could we just go home? Is there something else we could do? And then the speaker is introduced. It's especially boring at church events. I don't know why. It should be better. But sometimes it seems like we find the least interesting people to speak at those things. I am so glad I was there that night. The speaker was a woman in her 30s who was telling about her struggles with depression and drug abuse when she had been a teenager. And I don't remember all the details of her story, but what I do remember is this. She said that when she was at the lowest point, when she thought about hurting herself or dying by suicide, she had this moment of clarity, and she realized that death was not the worst thing that could happen to her, and that God would be with her through those worst times as well as the best. That realization for her made a difference in her life, and I have remembered for so many years her saying, if you are a Christian, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. And if we can stop being afraid of it, our lives can change. We are not like those who have no hope. Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong wrote that what the resurrection says is that Jesus breaks every human limit, including the limit of death, and by walking in his path, you catch a glimpse of that. Now, that doesn't mean that we are immune to suffering or sadness or pain. This week I have been a witness to incredible sadness. And believing in Jesus didn't make that pain go away. But what did happen was that a community of people were able to gather together, standing room only, to care for a grieving family and to tell them that God was with them, and that the child that they love is safe in God's arms, and that one day we will be reunited with those we live, because death does not get the last word. We are not like those who have no hope. One of my favorite Easter hymns is "Now the Green Blade Rises," and the last verse says this: "When our hearts are wintry, grieving, or in pain, your touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again like wheat arising green. We believe that Christ has conquered death, and that belief should give us hope for this life and for the next." And that's the great gift of Easter, hope. It helps us to believe that God is really at work, and that goodness and love are a reality, and that even when all of the mistakes that we have made get piled higher and deeper, the good Lord forgives and redeems us. We have hope. There are so many things that can cause us grief, unimaginable grief. The death of a loved one, a broken heart, the loss of meaningful work, our own illness or concern for someone else's health. But in the face of our sadness, God says, this is not the end for you. It may feel like you cannot recover from this pain, but I will be with you. And together we can find a new way to live. Dare to see beyond this point to the unimaginable joy that I have waiting for you. We are called to lean into the promises of Easter, to lean into those around you who bear witness to God's goodness, to take a risk and have hope, to believe what you have heard, to take a look and say, gosh, what's possible if only I will live as if I believe and hope in Jesus Christ. Remember, the unimaginable truth that Jesus rose from the dead and has forgiven your sins, and that God loves you in spite of everything else, that unimaginable thing is true. Christ is risen from the dead, and because he lives, we shall also live. And we are not like those who have no hope.